Well, thank you for participating in that with me and in praise and worship. It's so great. It's so fun to just be a part of this church body and this church family to celebrate God in this way. And speaking of church family, I'm extremely honored to be a part of Pedro Rodriguez's life and his ministry. And they are such dear friends to Jill and I, and he has an amazing testimony. I want to encourage you to grab a hold of this passion that he has for the people in Ecuador. I want to ask you to go ahead and come up here, Pedro, and whoever's coming up with you. Let's give them a hand. Who gets the mic first? Marilyn. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Water track. Okay. Very easy.
Buenos dias.
Good morning. Pastor Jeff shared with us that there are a lot of new people in the church. And you may be wondering who Pedro and I are and what Highlands Ministry is and why we get to share with you today. So just wanted to introduce ourselves and introduce the ministry a little bit. Pedro and I have been married for 26 years. We're originally from Miami, Florida. I moved to Branson, Missouri about 15 years ago. We have three beautiful daughters. Our oldest one is with us today, Sienna. Who just graduated with her bachelor's degree in public health from the University of Arkansas. So, kind of proud. We have a set of twins that are about a year younger than her that weren't able to be with us today, Allison and Kylie, and they will be graduating next year. So, along with Sienna here today, we also have the privilege of having her boyfriend Luke Anderson with us. He is a firefighter for the Fayetteville Fire Department in Arkansas. Proud of him. And the highest honor is that we have my mother-in-law with us today. Pedro's mother is with us, Margarita Rodriguez. So that's a little bit about our background. We are Cuban in descent. So no, we're not Ecuadorian. A lot of people think that because Peter was called to Ecuador, we are Ecuadorian. We're not Ecuadorian. And we also do not live in Ecuador year round. When Pedro had it in his heart set to minister to Ecuador, we had three very, very young little girls at home. And I work full time. So we couldn't uproot everyone and move to Ecuador. So he travels to Ecuador 3 to 4 times a year. I've traveled with him some, but I've usually stayed behind when the girls were little, take care of the children, take care of the home so that he could travel in peace knowing everybody was taken care of at home. So that was my part of the ministry, was keeping the home front together for him while he went out and started the ministry in Ecuador. Over the years, we've done a few different things in Ecuador. We've helped start build actually a couple of churches, though Highlands Ministry does not own these churches. We've just helped villages that wanted to have churches that already had congregations or had meetings happening build churches. We've done women's seminars. We've done pastoral workshops. Most recently, the Lord put on my husband's heart to focus on the children in these villages. And when I say villages, I'm talking about you go on an off-road, get you close to Jesus road, up into the mountains about 14,000 feet, and that's where Highlands Ministry has been called, is to go up into these mountains to these people that are unreachable. It takes them hours to get into a main city. And the kids get married very young, 16 years old. Young ladies are getting married and creating families. And children, I mean, these churches that do exist have a pastor that may be leading three or four churches. So there is definitely not associate pastors and youth pastors and children's leaders, which we depend on so much in our churches in the U.S. to help us raise our children in the way of the Lord. The kids are running around screaming and playing and climbing and doing all the things that little kids do when they have no one to watch them and nothing else to do, right? And so we decided we had a very small window to pour into these children so that when they did marry and went off into different villages or left the villages and tried to go into the city or did anything else, they had that seed in them. Today we have 30 churches that we partner with, and he'll tell you a little bit more about how the children's program works, and 2,000 children that weekly are in a Sunday school, Saturday school, Friday school, their own little service weekly, learning about the Word of God. So yes, praise be to the Lord. So just wanted to kind of give you all a little bit of background of who we are and why we're here. And I will allow my husband to take over and share his heart about Highlands Ministry. I love you.
Good morning. Once again, I'd like to thank Pastor Jeff and everybody here for inviting us. I think this is our third year. And like my wife said, we live in Branson, Missouri. And we go. I go to Ecuador about 3-4 times a year. I started going there about 15 years ago. For those that don't know a little bit, I'd like to know a little bit more about it. I felt the Lord call me about 15 years ago to go there and work with the indigenous. Our main people group we work with are the Putuwais, and they live in the mountains, really isolated. They are what's left of the Inca Empire. And it was just one of those people group that the Word of God had not reached yet, because they like to live isolated up in the mountains, and they don't have much contact with the people. And the Lord just called me there. I used to work with Compassion International. Some of you heard about Compassion. I used to do presentations, and one time I was invited there, and the Lord just changed my heart. It was, to this day I still have written down what the Lord put in my heart. He said, these people love me, these people cherish me, and I will not come back until my word reaches every corner of this land also that I love. And it just changed my life that minute that happened. I was sitting on a bus going to another province, and ever since, I just, all I eat, drink, and dream of is, you know, how to bring the gospel to these people with the time, you know, the amount of time that we all been given to be on this earth, you know. So through the years, we've been bringing the Word of God to those areas. We have planted some churches, and a couple of years ago, actually 5 years ago, the Lord put in my heart to work with the children, and this has been the main focus of the ministry. Yesterday, I was sharing with Pastor Jeff how that started. Like my wife said, they marry early in life, about 15, 16, they're being married and moving on to. And we had a church, the first church we planted, and it had, you know, a lot of people from that particular village have been coming to it. And I had asked for a particular person. I asked, hey, where is so-and-so? And they said, no, she got married and she moved to another village. And I was kind of sad and happy. I'm like, wow, they moved away. But I felt from the Lord that minute that a very strong question, you know, was asked to me. And it was, what did they take? And I didn't have an answer, because they didn't take anything from us. We were so, you know, we were just thinking about the church, and but not the kids. You know, the kids were running around outside. You know, families usually have 4 to 5 kids, so they're just running outside. And they didn't take anything. So from that day on, you know, I said, Lord, we'll follow, Lord. You let us know how we do this. And the Lord started providing, so we started concentrating on the children. You know, we started doing the children's ministry in the sense of we teach people in different villages how to run a Sunday school program. You know, it's something very new to them. Here in the U.S., we're so blessed because, you know, most churches, almost every church has a children's department. I'm sure this one has one. And God bless those people. It is, sometimes it can be tough. And we started working with them. And to this day, that's our main goal. We train people from different churches, usually about 4 to 5 people. We have training centers, in which we'll show you in a little bit in the video. And they teach the word to these kids. And we provide them materials on how to run the program and the material. We even provide food for them. And early this year when I was there, in one of the villages I was visiting, and one of the pastors was telling me that, I was asking, wow, we have a lot of young people that are no longer here. What happened to them? And he was kind of sad. He said, a lot of them are migrating. Where, you know, a lot of people that live in the mountains are migrating to the cities, you know, and they're leaving. And a lot of them have migrated to the U.S. And I was like, my goodness, that's interesting how that happened. I said, that's kind of sad because we don't longer see them. But he says, well, there's a beautiful side to that. He says, they've been calling and asking for references for churches because they've been plugging into different churches in other countries, and some of them have moved to New Jersey here in the U.S., and they were calling for references. And in our Hispanic culture is something very strong. Let's say if you join a church and you want to be part of the youth or you want to have any position in church, they do check your background. They'll call you. You tell them your story, how you work with the Lord, or you know about the Lord, and they will call that church and figure out and ask, you know. And it made us so happy because I feel the Lord asked me the same question again. What did they take? And this time they took the gospel, you know. It took so many years to see that, but we've seen it now, you know, where they're migrating and yet they're plugging into the churches. Like the Word of God says, you know, train a child in his ways when he's young and he will not depart from it. And we begin to see it. And I say, thank you, Lord, because sometimes it's you know, we measure our life and we want to see everything happen in our small chronological life, and it takes time, you know. So I was just thankful to God that he allowed me to see that we begin to hear about these young people moving to other parts of the world. And interesting to our country how the gospel did a full turn, you know, a full circle. It was taken to Ecuador from the U.S. and is coming back to the U.S. So, and we wanted to show you a video of what our, you know, daily life is, or the daily life of our ministry is. In Ecuador, we have a full staff. We have 2 full-time pastors and 3 full-time teachers. Their job is to teach, you know, because like Matthew 28, the Great Commission talks about, you know, it's to make disciples. You know, it's not just about saying, hey, do you accept the Lord and leave them there? No, it's a lot more than that. You know, we want to make disciples. So it takes time to disciple someone. So this group that we have over there, our team, it's on a weekly basis what they do. Every week they'll go to the villages. Twice a month we have the training centers going on and sharing and teaching these people how to teach the children. So we wanted to share a video of where your funds go. And we're so thankful for the support of your church. All of us here in the U.S., none of us get paid. We're all volunteers. Everything we do is we do it from our own, you know, by the grace of God, the Lord provides. I think I told you guys, I am not a pastor in the sense of I'm a mechanic. I don't know if I told you guys last time. You know, some of you will be going to offices, and tomorrow morning I go to work. I have a shop, and I repair mail trucks. I have a contract to fix all the mail trucks. So every time you see one of those ugly-looking little mail trucks, we keep those on the road, and that's how the Lord provides, you know, for me to maintain my family and stuff like that. In Ecuador, the funds that we send, it gets used over there. We don't have any expenses in this side. Nobody gets paid. So thank you for your support, because all of it goes to where it needs to go down there. So so we'd like to share that video so you guys can get an idea what the daily life is like. Those bags that we were passing around, it's the material that the kids get. Each child gets its own Bible. It has a 3 little work story books and a book about the life of Jesus. So every village that we work with will get, I mean, it has already gotten their material. and they come and they take the classes. So, and it has made the churches grow, because a lot of these kids will invite other children to come to the churches, and then their parents. You know, we've been getting a lot of reports how parents are coming to the churches because they see a change in their children, and their behavior and their attitude. And it's just curiosity. A lot of them, for us living in a civilized or a modern society, it's sometimes it's hard to understand. But one of the questions that they ask us the most is, why are you guys here? Why were you guys come from so far away to see us and our misery and our poverty? You know, to them is, because they understand a little bit about distance. You know, they know that we come from the U.S. and they know how far that is, but to them is very interesting, and you know, and we try to tell them it's because God loves you. You know, it's all about, you know, the love of God for you people. You know, and we're just part of we're just a hand of God sometimes in those areas, and we just, you know, letting them understand that God loves them. It's something we say so easy, but it's so hard to understand for them sometimes, because they haven't received that yet. Also, we this year we started working. One of the churches has a prison ministry. There's a lot of need, just like there is in our country, in prisons in Ecuador. Actually, Ecuador has the deadliest prisons of any country in the world. Sometimes when there's riots, people die by the hundreds. It's incredible. It's so sad that even the United Nations was investigating why, and it's just how violent the prisons are in that country. So we feel like the Lord is opening the door to be able to go into the prisons there and share the word too. They allow us to bring Bibles. So we partner with the International Bible League, and we get Bibles. And we give them to these churches that are allowed to go into the prisons and preach. They don't, since we're foreigners, they don't allow us to go in yet. But they do, you know, and that's what matters. You know, God has chosen some people with that gifting and that love for them. And they're blessed to be able to go and preach in the prisons. And that makes a big difference to them. And also, through the years, we've been talking to Pastor Jeff. And I was like, Pastor Jeff, I think we should get a group from the church here and go to Ecuador. So hopefully maybe this year, next year, we can get together and talk about a trip down there. We have our own transportation. I don't know if you guys saw the van. We have a ministry van. We have a location there where we stay, a house for the ministry. So we will love for you guys to be part of it, you know, not just to able to participate and, you know, to help fund of it. But we would love to see you guys there in person. I mean, everybody can do something. You know, you don't need to speak to someone to translate love, you know, or the love of God or the fact that you care for them. Just the fact that you're there, it means amazing to them. It means so much. When they see someone from the outside there, they feel love. They feel love because nobody comes to visit. You know, those areas don't have roads. They're just isolated. And when they see Christians there, even the ones that are not Christians, they appreciate that, because some of the ones that are atheists or they have other pagan religions, they will come and say, hey, you know, we appreciate you guys being here. Your God must really love the people because you guys are here. You know, we don't get no one to come here to visit us in our poverty. So it means a lot to them. So we will love one day to see a group from the church here to come visit us down in Ecuador. And guys, I'm not a preacher. I don't like to preach, but I wanted to share something with you. You know, when we were planning to come here, when the pastor invited us and the staff invited us to come, I always pray, Lord, is there something I need, you know, I'd like to share something small, you know, just a word with the people in that church. And I'd like to share something with you guys. And it ministers to me a lot, you know, too, because I see myself a lot there. I would like to share the word on Samuel. I'm sorry, on 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3:6. 1 Corinthians 3:6, and this, when I was reading this, it ministered to me so much, because it talks about what we do. It talks about what we all do in life. And I'm sorry, these are my wife's glasses; they're not mine. So I'm gonna try to read it. Plus, I'm Hispanic, and my English is always never gonna be perfect. So I'm gonna try my best. When the Lord said, and the Word of God says, it says, I planted the seed, Apollo watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God, who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. So there, to me, was talking about what we all do together, right? You know, like they say, you know, to go to the well, somebody needs to get on the bucket and somebody holds the rope to go down. And I just wanted to thank you guys, because it does mean a lot to us, the support that you gave us, you know. You might not be there, but we wouldn't be there without your support, you know. And thank you, because, you know, some plant and some water, but, you know, God is the one that gives the increase, and we've seen it. Like I was sharing with you guys at the beginning, hearing that young people through these 15 years have grown and yet have stayed in church and are, you know, are giving fruit, to us is a sign that that seed was, you know, was well planted. And we thank God, because some people water it and we see the increase, you know. And again, I thank God, because sometimes I want to see all of it in my lifespan, you know. I want to see the entire gospel, you know, cross, and it's not, you know. We live for a short time, and we just got to do what we were called to, you know. And I thank God for those that are called to water that, you know, to help us plant in those areas. So it means a lot to us what you guys do. And the second one is, it's in Judges 6:14, and I like to read about Gideon. It's one of those personalities in the Bible that really calls my attention a lot, because he was, to me, he was one of the few people who dared to question God, you know, when the Lord was calling him. So I like to read on Gideon, I'm sorry, on Judges 6:14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have, and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. I'm guilty of that. I say that all the time, you know. But to, you know, the Lord keeps bringing me back when you read on 6:14 when it says, go in the strength you have. And I think sometimes we need to make peace. You know, we talk about making peace with the enemy, making peace with what we don't have. But sometimes we need to make peace with what we have. And I'm really bad about that. I'll confess it. Because, you know, it's hard sometimes. You know, I'll be the first one going, well, you know, I don't have, you know, I'm not a good speaker. I don't have the funds to go there. I don't, you know. But you know, I feel in my heart the Lord keeps saying, go in the strength you have. He has given us all what we need to get through what we're going to go through. And it's important for us to make peace with that. And what I mean by peace, or what I think it means, is to accept, you know, what we have, accept what we are, you know, and just go forth with what we got. You know, because right there he was questioning, you know, I am the smallest, my clan is the smallest. And if we read a little bit before that, he even said, he was even questioning God about the things that had happened to Israel, that God didn't take them out of, you know. So he was doubting God, you know. And I'm sorry, but, you know, sometimes I will question that myself. In my mind, I would be a little bit afraid and say, Lord, you know, you know, but this and that. And as we can see, God didn't even answer that question. He just said, go in the strength you have. And, you know, the longer I live, the more I realize how time is short. And sometimes we just need to go. Whatever your field is, you know, I'm not saying everybody's called to the mission field. Everybody's called to, no. God is giving you opportunities on a daily basis. Take advantage of them. You know, one pastor said many years ago, sometimes your friends will be the only Christ they'll ever see in their life. You will be the only Jesus they'll ever see, you know. So do we have regrets? Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities that came and went by, and I said, I shoulda, coulda, woulda. But I repent, and I go, Lord, give me another opportunity, you know. And then when I read the Word of God, I see that, you know what, we're just like them, you know. 2,000 years later, we're like them. You know, we fall, but the Lord says, get up and go in the strength you have, which means go what He has given you. He has equipped us all with what we need to get through. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. And once again, I wanted to thank you guys for the invitation, for allowing us to be here, and for allowing us to share about the ministry, about, you know, I honestly say it, not what we do, but what we all do, what you guys do, because it does help, you know, everything you guys support us, it does help. It gets there, it gets used, it gets to, it gets put on the field. And I think we have one last video, I'm not sure. I can't see you back there. Oh, those are the pictures or video? Pictures. And yesterday I was, yesterday at night we were receiving these pictures, and I said, well, I'm going to save them. We provide also a meal for the kids. Some areas the kids are really smart, and they want fruits and vegetables. The other one want sandwiches and cookies. So this group over here gets, they get to pick their snacks. So they always like to send pictures. Hey, you know, thanks for the snacks. We got our snacks. And we get a weekly report from all the villages to see how they're doing and stuff like that. Those are really old. But anyways, we just thank you guys for supporting us. And once again, if anybody feels led in their heart to go, we would love to take you. We would train you. I will personally come here and with our team and train you guys. And we'll love for you guys to go in the field or anywhere. I know you guys are such an awesome church and support ministries in other parts of the world. If you feel that opportunity, if you feel that calling from the Lord to go, go. Go and do it. Go and experience it. If God is calling you, He will provide everything you need. He will keep you safe, and you'll be surprised. A lot of times it's not what we do, but what it does to us. It does a lot to, you know, every time I come back, I really appreciate what I have. Everything down to just a water cup. I'm like, thank you, Lord, because I am so grateful sometimes. I take for granted everything that I have, yet some people are happy with, you know, the little they have, and so it just, you know, keeps reminding me to be thankful for everything we have. So thank you, and God bless you guys, and we'll stay in touch, and I hope to hear from Pastor Jeff. Am I putting pressure there, Pastor Jeff? I'm not sure. A little bit, okay. So, but I'll love to take you guys down there, you know, and it's really not that expensive to get down there. Actually, Ecuador is a pretty inexpensive country to go to. There's a lot of Americans that live there. Lots and lots of Americans are living there. And actually, one of the biggest connections we have is the gospel in Ecuador came from the U.S. Actually, it was two women back in the late 1800s that traveled there and brought the Word of God. And they were the first ones to translate the Bible to them in those areas. So there's a huge connection, you know, especially from the Midwest. A lot of people from these areas went there and planted seeds. So thank you again for having us and for inviting us.